You talking to yourself again?
Ma, don't embarrass me.
Hi, Donnie's mom.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm all right, yourself?
I'm good.
Trophy hoarder show where you won't get bored. Honestly, get bored. I can't believe it made it past episode 4. But with the help of everybody at PG, Tynosaurus Rex, Donnie D. Oh my god, we done killed Tricky. We some bastards, we some bastards. Cool, we just being us, no fuss. He be back in the past, first class. And again, let me think about it. Meanwhile, thanks to the crowd, but listen to the show. Yo, we still on top, only came a long way. Long way. Well, kind of soda, let's just say the SG paved the way. SG paved the way.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trophy Whores. This is episode 97. I am your host, Tricky Mick, alongside with me, Alex.
Hello, what's up, bitches?
Bitches, you starting out like that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't talking to you. Hey, listeners, what's up?
All right, and also with us, Donnie.
What up, though, my peoples? Yes, I'm back again. It's like always.
All right. How you guys doing today? You guys doing good?
I am doing super. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. It was a nice sunny day here in Kentucky, so we really can't complain about that in the winter.
Yeah, you shouldn't say all that. It's cold here. Our sun doesn't do nothing.
You know what? How about you stop living by the Canadian border there?
Well, still.
Or the Great Lakes. That doesn't help things.
I know, but it's home.
Okay, you guys don't ask me how I'm doing. That's fine. Let's move on. Let's go to our update.
Tricky.
No, Tricky. No.
The Tricky. Tricky. Yes, Tricky.
I'm so sorry.
How was your day today, Tricky?
Well, today in itself was okay.
It doesn't matter how your day was.
Okay, we're moving on. Let's go to our updated trophy count.
What Alex is cooking.
I am level 22, total trophies of 43, and still the plat count of 30. Donnie, what about you, buddy?
Oh, man, I added like a great deal of trophies. Just can't update them. Still out of the network service. But if you want to go back 2 episodes ago, level 22. I can't read. They go public school system.
4,108.
55 plats.
No. I think the number is 55.
I thought I said 55. I said 55 plus.
You said 55. It's 55.
Oh, man, I've been hanging around you white folks.
How does Alex get more ghetto than you?
Exactly. I told you I'd just be hanging around you folks too low.
55.
But that's going to change. And it's going to be a minute, though. It's going to be a minute. So, but it's going to get there. 2 of them. I'll tell you how, coming up at 11.
No. You don't tease us. You don't give us this promo bullshit. You tell me now. I'm not staying up till 11.
I get to it. What are we playing?
Donnie, I got a question. What if I die like 10:30, 10:15, then I don't find out?
Well, by us being pre-recorded, you're not going to die at that time. So you're going to get a chance to hear it. The listeners is going to listen to it coming up at 11.
What if they download it like at like 9:30?
Well, it's going to be some dead folks. they're going to die like that. That's one of them hunting spirits when they die. They just keep coming back because they could never figure out what was coming up at 11.
All right, let's go into what we're playing. Donnie, what have you been playing?
You didn't even ask me my trophy count.
Oh, you know what? All right, Alex, what's your trophy count?
You know what? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter! No. Alex,
Tricky, you completely fell on your face on that because I rebuffed it. I said, no, it doesn't matter.
You ruined it. I ruined his own joke.
I knew it was going to happen.
I knew it too. All right. So, Alex.
I got 30 platinums.
Woohoo!
Level 19.
Oh, man.
3084 total trophies. Woo! I'm the king. Fuck you, Tricky.
Fuck.
That's such. I can read numbers.
Are you done, sir?
I guess so.
What?
I said, are you done?
What?
All right.
Huh?
This is going to be the wrestling episode, I can tell.
Come again?
Yeah, exactly. All right, what have you been playing, Alex?
I have been playing some more Fallout 3. Of course, we discussed that a little bit last week on the Alex and Donnie show. Best episode of Trophy Wars ever.
Negative.
Yeah, so we did pretty good for a two-man show here. But more Fallout 3. I actually downloaded Rogue Shard from the PlayStation Network, which is free for PlayStation Plus members. Haven't really gotten into it much, but I'm planning to play that soon. Really, though, just a whole lot more Fallout 3 and just watching some television shows, some more How I Met Your Mother and Comic Book Men. And, yeah, so it's going to be turned into Alex, what have you been watching? How'd you like that?
No.
What?
No.
Huh?
Exactly. All right, and I have to say that, what have I been playing? Wow. All right, Donnie, why don't you tell me what you're playing while I look up what I've been playing?
You got to look it up.
Dude, my mind is fried, I got to tell you.
Okay, well, I am so happy to say that I performed a successful surgery earlier this week.
It doesn't matter.
My laser has come. I replaced the laser. It worked. I've been playing Dragon Ball Z and the heck out of Hitman. Oh, I want this game so bad. I want to keep it so bad. This game is awesome, awesome. Hitman, they stayed true to it, even though they tried to take it more action-oriented, but it still stayed true to the nature of Hitman. And I got some titties later on in the show about Hitman.
All right, and let's see. What have I been playing? I've been playing Hitman. I've been playing Quantum Conundrum. I said that wrong. Need for Speed Most...
Quantum Conundrum?
There you go. Need for Speed Most Wanted, Tales from Space Mutant Bob's Attack, the Vita version... And that's basically all I've been playing. I've been playing the shitload of Hitman, though. But when I say I've been playing the shitload out of it, I really haven't been progressing the story. I've been going back and doing all the different achievements within the levels. So I
trying to get that Silent Assassin.
Oh, I got Silent Assassin, all of them, on the first run through. But I go back and, like, on the second one, where the mission is the King of Chinatown. I went back and killed them all the different ways, because there's 12 different ways you can kill them. Mm-hmm. And I went back and killed them all 12 ways. I had
all 12.
All 12. You can poison him 3 different ways. You can take him out with a sniper rifle. You can blow him up. You can throw him down a trap. You can, you know, take your silver bullet straight to his head. Dude.
Those are not fun ways.
The fun way is to blow him up with his car. To watch his body fly across the map.
Sweet, I didn't do all that. I straight up murdered the guy with my bare hands and got away with Silent Assassin.
I poisoned his coffee, I poisoned his food, and I poisoned his Coke supply.
Why do you gotta touch a man's Coke?
He shouldn't be doing coke. All right, let's get into our first topic of the day. Our first topic is the God of War Ascension multiplayer beta is coming to PlayStation Plus subscribers. I have to tell you, this is one beta I'm actually not looking forward to, because I don't personally don't believe multiplayer should be in God of War. But for our listeners' sake, it will be coming to PlayStation Plus on January 8th.
So, I would like to say I feel somewhat about you. I mean, not about you.
I was going to ask you to rephrase that there, Donnie.
I feel somewhat about what you were saying about the multiplayer, but after I seen the gameplay and stuff about the multiplayer, see, like, the multiplayer could be, you know, pretty decent. Pretty decent. I'm not looking forward to it, but it seemed like it might be a pretty decent experience.
Well, I mean, there are some games that people open up the box and they just go to the multiplayer and they don't touch the single player. I think God of War, Dead Space 2, is going to be one of those games where people go play the single player and a few people go try the multiplayer and they're just like, you know what, we're just going to stick to single player because God of War has traditionally been a single player series. It, you know, it's a cinematic game with a lot of mythos to it, a lot of mythology, a lot of lore. And I just don't see the multiplayer being that big of a hit. I could be wrong. I've been wrong a lot. So, I mean, if there are people out there who love it, if it's a really good thing, you know, great. Yeah. But I just don't see it as something that I would like in my God of War game.
Yeah, I can't see the combat in a game like Fry Like Trickies right now. But I don't see how the combat in a God of War game will be like in multiplayer. Because, okay, it's not like a shooter. You know, in multiplayer, you know, you shoot somebody. This, you got to come hand-to-hand or physical combat with the person. And the way, you know, you're throwing a chains of blades, the blades of chaos, or you're throwing some kind of sword, I just don't see how it's going to work. It seems like I said, it looks like it might be pretty decent as far as the gruesomeness of it and how you execute people, or I don't even know about the execution. It might just be some kind of move that you can do and the person get right back up like nothing just happened to them after you done bashed the skull all over the place. But I got to see it myself. I really don't see how, because I don't feel like bringing my system out to somebody else's house, you know, packing a little helmet on it, because I took that off. You seen pictures of it. I don't feel like packing all that stuff together.
I love how Donnie talks on the show. Like, everybody knows exactly what he's talking about. They goes, oh, well, you've seen it. Well, and he doesn't reference who's seen it. He's just making a reference. Oh, yeah, you've seen it. You know what I'm talking about. But all of us are going, I didn't see shit.
I'm talking to you guys. Of course, I'm talking to the you, and we're talking to each other for the listeners. And I'm not talking to the listeners.
Talk to the listeners.
The listeners hearing us talk to each other about this stuff. That's what they be tuning in to. We don't talk to the listeners because the listeners ain't talking back to us. We look like crazy people doing that. Mm-hmm. Talking to somebody that ain't there.
Send all your hate mail to youngtwist@provinggamer.com.
I mean, that's just keep it real. Like, I'm here for the listeners. I'm here to entertain you folks. But you look at a sitcom, they're not talking to the audience. They're talking to the person in front of them trying to entertain the audience.
Okay. That's what I'm doing. Back to entertaining the audience.
I think we just did.
So, Alex, do you have any more to say about the beta? Are you actually going to play it, or?
I mean, I'll try it out. I say that, and I wasn't even in the beta for PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. So hopefully, if I don't have anything to play, then, you know, because if I have a game to play, then I usually just kind of ignore betas. But if I don't have anything to play, yeah, I'll try it out just to see how it is. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again, I'm not really that excited about the new God of War game. After God of War 3, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I hate to say checked out, but it just doesn't excite me like it used to anymore after, you know, killing all the gods. So I'll try it out, but like I said, there's just, for me, I'm just really not that excited about God of War anymore. Yes.
All right. Well, Alex, if you're not interested and excited about the new God of War game, maybe I have something that you will be interested in.
What is it? Is it a statue of a weasel shooting a pop gun?
No.
Well, what the fuck? Now I'm not excited.
Well, how about Mass Effect 4? You excited about Mass Effect 4?
That sounds like something that might tickle my ball sack.
All right. BioWare has stated that the next installment in the Mass Effect franchise will not be released until late 2014 or mid-2015. But they did say that we will hear more about the game in 2013, which is next year. Now, I've never really been a fan of the Mass Effect series, and as you can tell by Donnie's response when I brought this topic up, he's not too interested. So, Alex, does this... I mean, they confirmed that Master Shepard or Commander Shepard will not be in this title. I mean, does that concern you at all, or are you confident with the way BioWare has the series that the game can survive without Shepard?
Well, I mean, BioWare has always been a talented developer. I mean, we've seen it game after game that they've done. Yeah, they've had a few duds, but overall, we can say that BioWare is a trusted, strong developer. I mean, they had to create Mass Effect in the first place, so obviously they're very good storytellers. So just because Shepard is gone, and it wasn't always just about Shepard. Yeah, you got to create your own Shepard and kind of take him or her around the galaxy, but you also had those other characters like Grunt and Morden and Garrus. So you had a lot of other characters in there who helped make that story great. It wasn't just Commander Shepard. And if they brought back Commander Shepard for another game, you'd just be like, oh, it's Michael Myers syndrome. You know, they're just bringing this character in because they can't think of anybody else. I think, you know, bringing Shepard back would, you know, really hurt the overall franchise. It would, you know, make it look like not that serious and make it look kind of silly just to have your hero come back just for the sake of having him in another game. So I think it's good that they're going to try to focus on someone else and continue the story in another direction. That's where I think they should take it, because every story has to have an end. Why shouldn't Shepard's end after 3?
Because God of War ended after 3?
Well, obviously not, because they're making that 4th one.
It's not continuing.
And we all know how I feel about that. But yeah, it's before God, it happens before God of War 3 and God of War 2. So yeah, it's not really continuing.
So it's not continuing anything. So I don't. That's the question that is too already. Moving on.
All right, moving on. Ken Levine has confirmed that BioShock Infinite will not have multiplayer. Now it was stated that the multiplayer component was given the chop on the cutting room floor due to time constraints. Now, me personally, I don't really believe that story. But is it good news now that BioShock Infinite they feel that the game is strong enough that it could survive without a multiplayer aspect? Because as we've stated many times on the show before, we think that they put multiplayer in these games because it's becoming a growing trend that people don't buy games unless it has a multiplayer, because they want to have the experience more. Do you think it says what do you think it says that they feel that this game is okay to come out without the multiplayer aspect?
Well, as you know, we've heard my discussion on this show before. I think that it's good. I don't think every game needs multiplayer. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it works really well. Like, you know, people didn't want it in Uncharted, and they, you know, it worked out very well. Uncharted's multiplayer is pretty good. And then you have other games where it's just thrown in there, and it feels completely unnecessary. So, I mean, you've got to, you know, take it franchise by franchise. And with BioShock Infinite, they didn't want to just do, you know, they talked about how with a game where you're a Marine, there's wartime scenario. You know, if you're in Afghanistan or something like that, it's pretty cut and dry what your multiplayer can be. With BioShock Infinite, it's a really different universe, a really different kind of game, really different storyline with different characters. And it's not as easy to cook up some kind of multiplayer that's going to feel really unique and feel, you know, really good for the product. So they just didn't want to put something out there that was half-assed. And I think that as gamers, you know, we shouldn't expect multiplayer in every game. I think that when someone makes a decision to say, hey, we can't have this in the game, it won't work out, I think we should applaud that, you know, that they should have enough care for their product that they're not going to just jam something in there to have something else on the back of the box. Warhawk, I keep going back to this over and over again. They took out single player and they said they just want to do online multiplayer. People complained about that. Well, it turned out it was a good decision because the multiplayer was excellent. And, you know, so I think as fans, we have to appreciate when game developers take a stand on something like this.
All right. Donnie, how you feel, buddy?
What he said, that sounded very smart.
All right, well, it's good that you it's a nice little transition, because we're going to talk about another company taking a stand, and that would be Naughty Dog. Now, there's a recent story that came out that Naughty Dog flat out refused to put Ellie on the back of on the cover art of The Last of Us. This is stemming from a statement by Ken Levine talking about how that the reason they went with a generic cover for Bioshock was because they wanted to appeal to the wider market, because they said that a lot of gamers don't feel that they're, or a lot of companies don't feel that their game will sell if it stars a female protagonist. And Naughty Dog flat out said that they flat out refused to put Ellie in the background because of that, because they wanted Ellie to stand out. I'm really happy that Naughty Dog took the stand. Donnie, I know you put this topic in the agenda, so I'm going to let you start off with your comments first.
Well, I don't know if everybody feels the same way I feel, but I don't think that hurts sales at all. Me, personally, I would prefer to play with a female character other than a male character, mainly because even the game might be super sweet or it might be super bad, no matter how it is, I get eye candy with my gameplay. You know, Bayonetta, she's the hairiest chick whoever came into creation, but she's sexy as heck. But
you like the librarian glasses, don't you? Don't lie, Donnie.
It's not a bad taste. No.
You like the closet freak, don't you, Donnie?
It's not a bad taste at all. Keep the glasses on. You don't got to take them off. You don't got to use contacts with me, baby. No, I'm just saying, like, I would rather play with the female. Like, Saints Row, I created me a female, and then I only created a male in order to get the trophy, because it says play with both female and male characters. So I only created a male just to get the trophy. But I created my female because I wanted some eye candy with me when I play. And then when I rebought the game recently, I created me another female character because I would rather play with a female character than a male character in video games.
You know, Donnie, I think we need to get to a point where we need to talk about, you know, how you, you know, use the word eye candy for a video game character.
No, I'm just saying, like, because
it's a video game character, Donnie. It's not real.
I understand. I know what you're talking about, but come on, people don't buy Dead or Alive just for the fighting. To me, it's the wackest fighting series out there. People don't buy.
Of course, they don't.
People don't buy that beach volleyball just because they want to play volleyball. They buy it because of the females that's in the game playing it. And I wouldn't buy beach volleyball. I wouldn't even give it a try unless somebody gave it to me while I was over somebody's house playing it. But for that reason, I wouldn't give it a try just for that reason. But if I had got the game and the game's lit super bad, and like I'm talking about on some Metacritic type stuff, I'm talking about some Devil May Cry original type stuff, but it happened to be a female, I say it sells the same way as the male character sells. In my opinion, fighting games, females are some of the coldest people in the fighting game, because not because of the way they look, it's just that they be putting a smash on people in fighting games. Females, to me, sales. I just rhymed. I didn't even mean to do it. Females, sales. You know,
well,
I don't see
how. With the Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball, that game was made to be, you know, out there like that. It wasn't. That wasn't made to be a serious game. That was made as a straight out, let's be appeal to the male audience and sell our game just because we're going to have a whole bunch of bouncing tits and all this other stuff.
Yes, and did that not sell?
Not as well as you think it did.
Okay, I'm not saying that it sold as well as they think I did, but it sold, and it sold for that reason only. But Tomb Raider, when it first came out, they knew exactly what it was when they was getting their hands into it. That sold and made a lot of bread. What else is a female character?
You do realize when you talk about female characters selling games, this is a teenage girl in this game, right?
Yeah. I'm not saying sell it for that reason. I'm not saying sell it for what guys think about reason. I'm saying that just because she's a female don't mean that the game is not going to sell. We already seen previews and gameplay and all kinds of crap about Last of Us, so we already know that she's the star of it. So what's the difference of putting her on the front and back, or however they're gonna put her on? What's the difference? We already know that she's the star of the show. Her and a guy. So what's the point? It's going to sell no matter what. I'm quite sure they sold it already with what they showed. They sold it with me. And the game ain't even came out yet. I plan on getting this. Not because of her.
Their point was, Donnie, not that the game won't sell. Let me rephrase that. Their point was not that the game is a bad game. Their point was, for the typical person that's not into reading websites and doesn't listen to our podcast and stuff like that, for like the average mom that goes out and wants to buy a game for their kid, they're talking about them walking up and seeing the box art and that appealing to the average person. You get somebody like us who's into gaming and knows what's going on, seeing the videos and stuff like that. That's what they're talking about. That they don't, that Ken Levine feels that by putting a female on the cover, they're not going to get that option.
Okay, well, that person is not going to buy that game anyway. The person you're talking about, because they probably don't even play those type of games because they don't play them. That type of person is going to sit there and buy a game for their husband, brother, or their kids. And if they look at the dang on rating, I hope they don't buy it for their kids. So they're not going. That person is not going to get it no matter what. It's us. It's the hardcore gamers that's going to get this game. And as I'm speaking for a hardcore gamer, and I hope they agree with me, but this does not change the reason of me not getting this game. If I just seen one commercial that I liked about this game, I would still buy this game. Whether you had a female on the front cover, you put an old lady in a wheelchair on the front cover, I would still get this junk. Because I seen that one commercial that sold me. And I'm a hardcore gamer. The person you talk about ain't buying it anyway.
All right. What about you there, Alex?
Well, I mean, first of all, let me applaud Naughty Dog for the stance they've taken on this, you know, to saying, hey, we're not going to push Ellie to the back. We're going to have her front and center. She's, you know, she is one of our main protagonists, and she can be just as beloved as, you know, any male character out there. So I got to applaud Naughty Dog for that. But also, I mean, I don't really think that – yeah, I always appreciate when there's really cool box art, like the Resistance 3 box art. I always really like God of War box arts, the Heavenly Sword box art. So I do appreciate a good, you know, cover art for a game, but it's not the thing that sells me on it. It's always the thing – it's always the gameplay and the concept behind the game and the story and the characters. That's what sells me, the game itself, what's inside the package. I know that people go to stores and they – pick up games that, you know, maybe there are kids out there who see something, or young, you know, teenagers who go and see a box and they're like, oh man, I have to have that. But I would like to think that most people go and buy a game because they've looked at the game, they've researched it, they know what the gameplay is like, and they'll buy it on that. You know, back in the day of the Nintendo, when you bought Mega Man because of the front cover art or, you know, something like that, it was, I mean, back then you didn't have the kind of media and the amount of coverage that we have today. So it was kind of back then, it was the thing you did. Now there's really no excuse for that with how much, you know, how widespread the internet is and magazines. And so for me, cover art doesn't sell it.
Yeah, but we're speaking on the back in the day games. Those back in the days, cover art didn't look anything like the game anyway. So you only was, if you buying off the cover art for a back in the day game, you ain't no real gamer. I'm just throwing it out there. Ain't no way Mega Man was a real man on the cover. Or I seen some Mega Man pictures with him being a real man. If that sold you on the game, then you ain't no gamer then. You just seeing something that, hey, this look like it just might be cool to play just from this cover art. I'm going to get it. You ain't no real gamer. Nowadays, the cover art matches the gameplay. That's in the game. So
you honestly think that cover art sells video games?
Me? No. You're not just hearing what
I just said. You just said that the... Oh, no, I'm sorry. No. I said that wrong. I apologize. So you think cover art is matching what the game is about nowadays?
No, I'm saying, but I'm just saying for anybody who buys a game for the cover art,
is not a real gamer. And then for you to, for Alex Brunk up though, back in the day, Mega Man cover art, and wait, if you still, if you buying it, you got a dang a 3D or 2D graphic art with shells, you know, with shadows and all the works for cover art in the back of the day game, and you pop it in, and it's dang on 8 bits. You know, that don't look like the cover art. So what the heck you buy it for the cover art for? So to me, cover art does not have anything to do with it. It looks sweet, but if you're a real gamer, you're going to look at gameplay and do your little research at whatever you do, ratings or whatever you do. I look at gameplay. I don't care about the CG cutscenes from the stuff I see. I look at gameplay, and if I like the gameplay, I give it a try.
All right, let's move on to our next topic. We have a little good news for our UK listeners. Apparently now you can go on to the PlayStation Store on your computer and now access and buy content straight from the website.
I thought you was about to say you can go to the computer and buy condoms. You kind of spaced out that con part.
Yes.
Clearly we know who, which of the three of us has gone on the internet and tried to buy condoms before.
Apparently.
Yeah, that's go to Donnie's computer and get on Google search, and the first thing you type is where to buy. If you're looking for where to buy controllers, well, you're going to be surprised when where to buy condoms.
And if you're buying condoms offline, then apparently you don't have a very active sex life. Wait for that bitch to be delivered. Getting back to our story. Yes.
By the way, Donnie, don't ever buy condoms from an online company that packs their merchandise. Yes. Or also sells pins and needles.
All right, getting back to our topic at hand. Yes, our UK listeners can now go online or on their computer and buy content. Once you buy the content, next time you turn on your PS3, just go into your download list and everything you purchased is now there for you to quickly download. I have a few comments about this, but I'm going to let you guys go first. Let's start with Alex. Alex, what do you think about this process?
You know, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes it's kind of cumbersome, even with the new store layout, to get through. I mean, I can navigate it pretty easily, but it's – I mean, if I can do it from my computer – I mean, my computer is 2 feet away from my console and my TV. So, you know, I really don't – I will never use it. I'll just buy it straight from my PlayStation. But for people, you know, maybe they are at work and they're kind of dicking around at work. Maybe
buying condoms.
Maybe they can't wait. Exactly. When they get done buying condoms, they want to go online and buy their PlayStation content so they can have it, you know, downloaded directly when they get home. I mean, it's not something I really need to use. But I mean, you know, hey, if it's your thing, go buck wild.
All right, Donnie, what about you, bud?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel the same thing as how Alice just worded it. I don't see myself using it because if I really wanted that bad, I would just hop on a station and go to it. And then on top of that, I wouldn't trust the service transferring over to my PlayStation just because it's so much stuff that goes on when you buy it off the PlayStation itself sometimes. So I'm not really feeling this too much. It seems pretty cool, though, to have it on your system. Like how Alice said, if I'm at work and, hey, the boss ain't, you know, it's gone, you know, playing around, but I wouldn't do it.
See, me personally, I like this idea because I tend to work nights and when the PlayStation Store is being updated, you know, I'm generally at work, so I have to come home and then go onto the PlayStation and do all that stuff. The only thing about this whole process that I would like better, and I'm hoping that PlayStation can install it, is
I know
once I buy it, my system turns on and automatically downloads it.
I knew you was about to say that. Like, now, if that was there, hopefully somebody throw in some feedback with them about that. Now, that would be, like, extremely cool. Because to me – oh, I'm sorry. Well, go ahead.
See, and maybe – I mean, I don't want to limit it, but maybe make it a PlayStation Plus perk. If you're PlayStation Plus, when your system turns on to automatically update every day when it does – maybe it downloads all that content for you.
Nick, I was going to say, to add to that, to me, it's kind of defeating the purpose of what you're trying to do with the computer. Like, if it doesn't automatically update and download, and install for you while I'm gone, I still got to go through the whole process of the same process of me going to the actual PlayStation and doing the same thing. I still got to wait for the download and install.
Yeah, because right now, if I, you know, now, like I said, this is only for the UK right now. This is not for the United States. But once it does come to the United States, which I'm pretty sure it will, it really doesn't benefit me in its current form, because all it's really doing is stopping me from doing one extra step when I get home from work and download it. And that's actually searching the store, trying to find the things I want and download. But if I'm at work and, you know, somebody goes, oh, did you try that new Need for Speed?
No, hold on. I'm sorry to cut you off. It's not even doing that for you. Because it says when you get home and you cut your station on, it's ready to download for you. And it's, it downloads for
that's
you.
That's what I just said.
Oh. Did you?
Yes.
It sounded like you said
thank
that.
You for paying attention to the when show I, there, buddy.
No. When I edit, I'll find out.
all, you know, like I say, all it really does is stops me from having to go into the store to do the search for everything that I want. If I have to go into my download list, it really, you know, it doesn't benefit right now. I mean, yeah, it's cool that I can go on to their site and, you know, purchase anything I want. But in reality, I can just go to any of the PlayStation blogs and see what's in the store and decide if I want something from there. So to me, I mean, it's a good idea in practice, but unless they have that automatic download, it's really not something that I would ever use.
Spoken like a true tricky.
All right. Now, let's get into a topic that I know Donnie's going to have a lot to talk about.
Not really.
As you know, me and Donnie are big Metal Gear fans, and with the upcoming release of Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, me and Donnie have both stated that the more and more we see about this game, the less and less we are excited about this game.
Guys, I don't know if you've heard swords cutting shit. Yeah,
but it's not like it's whoa. Not Metal Gear.
Whoa. Swords cutting shit.
No, you're not a true Metal Gear fan.
Wait, let me
you're swords, not a true Metal Gear fan. You just came in.
All right, look, here's the thing. It's not Metal Gear. It's not Snake Metal Gear. But it's okay, not supposed it's to be. Metal it's Gear. Supposed it's by Platinum Games. It's going to be action heavy, and you know that.
Listen, if it's not by Konami, you know that, then I don't want to play it.
Okay, go ahead and finish Tricky so I can say.
All right.
Tricky, I hope you play this game and you love the shit out of it. But you can eat some fucking
crow. To be honest, I will say it right now. What is this, episode 97? I will say it right now. I will play this game. And if I like it, I will be the first one to come on and say I was totally wrong by everything that I've seen and this game is the shit. I'm really.
Now, you do realize because it's a Platinum Games game that you're never going to get the Platinum Trophy for it, right? I try to get the Platinum Trophies in Vanquish and Bayonetta, and fuck if that's ever going to happen.
All right.
Oh, but Bayonetta ain't happening. Huh?
Okay, well, in a recent article, they want to show a video of how stealth has come back into Metal Gear Rising. I suck at saying Japanese names, so I apologize if I butcher this. Atsushi Inaba, which I don't know what his company title is, but
he hates you right now for fucking up his name.
He said through a translator, in the beginning, we wrapped around the core concept of having just Raiden moving forward. It was based on soul action, but looking back, it would have been very dull and very centered around just cutting. So they tried to put some stuff.
Whoa, around what? Tricky Myth, you watch your mouth.
Cutting.
You thought you said cussing? No.
So they...
No, Donnie, think about it.
So they added some stealth into the game, and this is where I'm going to let Donnie take over.
Well, to me, the stealth ain't really stealth, first of all. But did you see the I'll talk about this, because this would kind of get me on the big riff about Ryzen right now. Did you see the gameplay demo that was on the internet right now?
To tell you the truth, I haven't watched a video about this in so long.
Oh, okay. Where they got a gameplay video, like, I think it's like 10 minutes of gameplay video. And this is, oh, what? It's, first of all, it's everything I said it was. It's a straight up Ninja Gaiden, however you want to pronounce it. But it's that game. It's not what they try to say it is, but it's Ninja Gaiden. And he runs around the exact same way as Ninja Gaiden. He cuts like Ninja Gaiden. That, what's the name, where he slows down time and cut up stuff. I feel like that's going to get old very, very, very quick in the game.
I agree.
And the stealth now, what they're talking about, is not really stealth. He had the same vision, or they try to make it the same vision as Agent 47's instinct. If you play Absolution, you will understand what I'm talking about. And I'm not feeling this game at all anymore. I'm still going to play it because I'm a Metal Gear fan, and if you throw a Metal Gear game at me, I will play it. But
I mean, it seems like you guys can't get around the words Metal Gear being used in the title,
because it's not a Metal Gear game.
So no. Alice,
before you say that, I understand it's not made by Hideo. I understand it's not made by him. I understand it's made by completely different people. Yes, I do. But by you having the words Metal Gear into the title, you already put on the pedestal very high just
They're trying to capitalize on the brand name. That's exactly my point.
By putting Metal Gear in the name, you're saying to your consumers that this game is going to be like the Metal Gears of the past. Exactly. Metal Gear has set their plateau, and they have set the bar, and they said this is what Metal Gear is. By putting Metal Gear in the title, you're saying that this game that we're making is on the same bar, if not higher, and this game does not appeal to any Metal Gear fans. Now, I say that in a broad spectrum because obviously there are people that are Metal Gear fans that are going to love this game.
Love it.
But it's the same thing by saying the new Ratchet and Clank game, but it's a card-based game. You're taking that
Metal Gear did that too.
Right. But what I'm saying is, you by putting that name in the title, you're setting the bar, and the bar is so far off in this game that Metal Gear should not even been in the title.
But in history of Metal Gear, you know, some history of Metal Gear, they've been down this road once before. Back in the day when they first came out with their first Metal Gear, back in the Nintendo days, regular Nintendo days, they came out with Metal Gear, which is the one that you have on the Metal Gear 3 right. HD Collection. Part 2 of that Metal Gear game that's on the HD Collection is the second Part 2 of Metal Gear 2. They came out with Metal Gear 2 that was straight up Rambo, straight up nothing but action, no stealth, just straight up Contra, and that was Metal Gear 2. They didn't like it. It didn't sell what they thought it was going to sell. Consumers didn't like it too much. They came out with the Metal Gear they have now that's on the HD Collection of Part 3. That Metal Gear 2 is the second Part 2. Like, it's like Part 2 revamped.
What this reminds me of is going back, and this is going back a long way. Think about the original Zelda, how good that game was, and then they came out with Zelda 2, The Adventures of Link, and it was a completely different game. Think of the outcry with that. I mean, that this is on the same par.
My only point to Donnie was that, you know, if you like a game that's a kind of a hack and slash game like Lollipop Chainsaw,
Ninja Gaiden,
and Ninja Gaiden, why can't you like a game like Metal Gear Rising? Yes, it uses the Metal Gear name, maybe not properly. It's maybe not the same game, but it's still the kind of game you can like. I mean, can you not get around the fact that Metal Gear's in there?
I'm going to tell you why I don't like it, because you just answered it in the same little statement. It's not Metal Gear.
But can you look past the name to play a game if you like it?
No, like I said, I'm going to play it because I'm a Metal Gear fan. through and through. But yeah, I'm going to play it because yeah. But me liking it, as far as right now, I could see myself not liking it. I could see myself only playing Ninja Gaiden with Raiden. With what's his name? I forget the boy's name. Raiden. I'm playing Ninja Gaiden with Raiden now. So I'm quite sure there's probably going to be a code in there where you can change uniforms and you'll be playing as Ryu's costume throughout the game. Because he's wearing a poncho in this, and that's making him go stealth.
Can I also point something out in this video? That this video shows the stealth, but part of the stealth that he has, and this is kicking back to the other Metal Gear games, is he has a cardboard box. The problem with the cardboard box in this scenario is he's in a sewer in like 2 feet of water.
2 feet of water with a pint, with a sombrero on top of the box. Right. Because he was wearing poncho.
I'm sorry. Logic tells me you put cardboard in water, what happens to it?
It gets soggy.
Okay. Come on. This, to me, by them trying to put stealth into this game, is a slap in the face to every Metal Gear fan.
Yeah, I think they're trying to make a mockery of Hideo's work with this, putting stealth in here. Because it's like, okay, he's watching over us. You know, let's just put stealth in it just to get him off our back or something like that. And I'm not saying that he's riding a coattails, but I'm just saying, like, well, we have the words Metal Gear in the title, so let's try to put some form of stealth in, even though it's not required whatsoever. It don't even need stealth because we're going to straight up cut your freaking balls off and hand them to you. Cut the balls off and rip the spleen, and then I'm going to squeeze the spleen so I can get power.
All right, we got to cut Dodgy off. Just another thing before we actually start to close out the show. You know, it's funny that they put stealth into the game, and then he makes a statement like this. He says, "We never want him blocking or moving sideways in order to defend himself. We always want him on the offensive. So when he moves or parries something, it connects to his next combo. As a character and the concept, we wanted to keep in line with that."
Okay, so why is it blocking then in this game? It shouldn't be no blocking, because that's defensive. You block and parry. That's what a parry is. You block and evade the guy.
But the whole point is you're talking about you're putting stealth into the game, and now you're talking about, oh, well, we don't want him being defensive. We want him on the offensive. Stealth is a defensive-based action. You're trying to avoid conflict, and then your next statement is, no, we want him always in conflict.
I just got a nosebleed talking about
this. All right. Let's move on. All right, Donnie, do you have a question of the week this week?
Yes. You have games that be like super awesome, and they come out with sequels to the super awesome game, and that sequel be awesome, and they come out with another sequel. And then after that, when they're done with the whole sequels, or they feel like they can't go on anymore, God of War, for instance, with after 3, and they come out with prequels. So how do you feel about a game pre-thinking out their strategy to come out with a prequel first and then continue the story so there won't be no prequels to this awesome, awesome game? Because me personally, I love God of War, but I can deal without the prequels. I would love to see where, even though I know the story of Kratos now, I would love to see the origin of how he became the Kratos that we know of now, which is this ascension still is not putting me in that feel right now, because I want to play him as the Spartan warrior himself before he even made the deal with Ares. Essentially what I'm saying is that he still has the ashes on his body as you playing him. So that means he made the deal already and killed his family by him having his ashes.
I'm just joking.
Got that. Yeah, you got part one. You got that.
All right. But, Donnie, I don't want to cut you off just for the interest of time. As far as prequels go for the games, I think that's always going to be an important part of video games or just media in itself. And I'll give you a perfect example in the fact of Star Wars. We had episodes 4, 5, and 6. And a lot of the fans of the Star Wars series were saying that they wanted to find out how Anakin became Darth Vader, and through episodes 1, 2, and 3, we actually found that out. And my point of this is that when you make a game and you get engrossed into a character, you're always going to have that interest of how that person became who they are. I mean, case in point, you look at Uncharted 3, you know, that touched base back on how Nathan and Sully became to know who they became friends and how they met, and it touched on their back history. So I think prequels are always going to be an important part of media.
But I understand you can't really use that one, Uncharted 3, because they taught that's not a prequel. It's actually a sequel, continuation from.
No, two, no. I'm not saying 3 was a prequel. What I'm saying is how they touched base with how Nathan and Sully met.
I do understand that, but what I'm saying, like, let's come out with a game. Game creators, come out with a game, think about it real good, and it's come out with the very first. I'm quite sure you might not get in touch with the character because he don't really have nothing deep or nothing real, as we would say in the video game world, badassy about him. But come up with a story where you tell his origins right then and there, and then work our way on up into what's this, the fifth one of God of War? They got 5 games right now? Yep, 5 of them. Work our way up to 5. To me, I feel like by you doing that with God of, if they would have done that with God of War, 3 would have been just super, super amazing, in my opinion. I think that would have been like off the chain for a great finish to a series. If they start out with Ascensions and work their way on up to 5.
All right, I'm gonna let Alex go, and then I have more to say about this.
I mean, you can look at prequels a couple ways. I mean, one, it's good for consumers who kind of want to learn more about the history of a game, more about the backstory of a character, because it allows the game companies to go back and make a plausible entry in a new in the series. For game companies, it's a good way for them to extend the life of the series, you know, without jeopardizing the fact that they say, well, this is the last game, you know. Without jeopardizing that what they created in you know, in maybe say a trilogy like they did with God of War 3, they can always go back and create another game. But for someone like me who feels like, you know, I don't know, you feel like this game isn't necessary, like you had enough, your fill after the first 3 God of War games, it kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say it cheapens the series, but it's definitely not something I really want. I don't want another God of War game. I think they could have stopped at 3 and it would have been perfect. But, I mean, as Sony is a company, they want to make money. God of War is one of those profitable franchises right now, so they have to continue it, if, you know. And, you know, there are those people out there, a lot of people out there who are excited for Ascension. So, I mean, just because I don't want it doesn't mean they should not make it. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who want it. So,
yeah.
I mean, go ahead and make it.
Yeah, I feel I want it too. I can't get enough of God of War right now. But I look at prequels as kind of a cop out. Because, like, well, I want to continue the story, but we don't really have nothing to go on no more. He killed every god, literally. So, hey, what the hell? It's just throw out there how he became the guy that we know now. I look at it as kind of like a cop out to me for a prequel. Because you can't think of anything. But, instead of just end of the series, you just can't think of anything.
Although, I just have a question for you, Donnie. I mean, you're saying that a game company should, you know, essentially think about the story of the game that they want to play and then make the prequel first.
And it won't actually be a prequel. It'll actually be part one, literally.
I understand that, but let me... The problem with that is, and I just for, you know, playing devil's advocate here, the problem with that is if you think about this awesome story and then you think of the prequel story, you know, the initial idea in your head was this is the story I want to tell, but because I don't want to make a prequel later, I'm going to go back and tell maybe this not so engrossed in story to get to the story that I wanted to tell. And to me, I think that when you do that, you're going away from your original idea, and two, you know, your original idea, and I think that both you guys can agree with this, is generally the story you want to tell, and then when you have to think of the prequel story, you know, when your heart is into the story you want to tell, you're really not putting as much effort into the previous story.
Well, one of the thing is that a lot of times when, you know, with game series, if you create a new IP, like, say, Darksiders, you don't really know if the first game is going to take off. So you make tentative plans for maybe, say, 3 games, but you don't know if it's going to take off. So, you know, you can't really plan out, you know, 3 games and then a prequel and blah, blah, blah. You just kind of have to hope the first one does well. And if the first one's selling well, then you create from there.
Well, I guess I commented on that kind of earlier in my first statement about this, is that, you know, I do understand, like, if you was to come out with the actual prequel as number one, you wouldn't have that badassy character that people love in video games. You might not have that. But also, to me, if you was to start out with that, you will be telling your story that you want to tell. You're just telling what you... Because you want to tell the prequel the same, just as bad you want to tell your actual story, because you would never came up with the prequel if you didn't have this bun story that you want to tell.
Johnny, let me play devil's advocate here a second. You like God of War 1, right? You think it's a fantastic story.
Yep. Okay.
Now, I know you also played Chains of Olympus and Ghost of Sparta.
Play every last single game of God of War.
Just for argument's sake, let's say you never played God of War 1. Do you think that the stories in Chains of Olympus and Ghost of Sparta were enticing enough that you would have played God of War 1? Or do you think that because the way the story was told, you probably wouldn't be as interested in the story because not knowing where Kratos ended up?
Dude, hell yeah. If you was in the God of War series, well, we've been using God of War series for this, but if you're using this for your statement that you're making now, hell yeah. I would love to start God of War with Ascensions and then work my way up to 3. Yes.
I tend to disagree because, okay, let's go on to the Metal Gear series, okay? You had Metal Gear 3, which is basically the prequel of prequels. It was before everything. You learned how Big Boss became Big Boss. But, see, to me, and this is a little spoilerific, so, you know, listeners, if you haven't played Metal Gear 3, you might want to just fast forward a little bit here. We found out how Big Boss became Big Boss. But to me, I don't think 3 would have been as enticing of a game. Now, it was a great game, but I'm talking about storyline-wise. I don't think the story of 3 would have been as engrossing and capturing if you didn't know where that character ended up. You know what I'm saying? At the end, when, you know, he's standing in the office with the president and he goes, "Your new title is Big Boss." I don't think that statement right there would have had the impact if you'd not known who Big Boss was. So
you didn't know who Big Boss was until you got the 3 anyway.
No, I knew who Big Boss was because I played the original Metal Gears.
My point being is
sometimes you have to tell the story 5 years from now before you tell the story of the present day because of the impact of what that story is going to be.
You know, okay, well, I'm about to contradict myself, but in the Metal Gear world, they did everything perfect to me. So, yes, right there, I agree with you because Metal Gear, I do agree, if you was to go through that series playing 3 and then the 2 that's on the Nintendo and then Metal Gear Solid own up, then I don't think the story would be that impacting as it was, because I cry a lot in Metal Gear. But yeah, to me, that's the only series that done everything like it's supposed to be done as far as storytelling. That told the best story in any game. So Metal Gear, can't use it. It's perfect.
But that's my point. Sometimes you have to tell the story 5 years from now before you tell the story of present, because it doesn't mean anything.
But, okay, another thing. We've been on this a long time, but another thing, because prequels, let's take Dante, for example, in the Devil May Cry series. Okay. Dante, Devil May Cry 1, he's like the top guy when it comes to that badassery character that we use in gaming world. Now, go to Dante 3. I mean, I keep saying Dante. Devil May Cry 3, which is a prequel of 1, 2, and 4. And he is sweeter than he is in 1, 2. And I got to say, even in 4, he's sweeter than he is in 4 in part 3. Now, when you play in part 1, you're like, oh, this is a great character. This is a super character. Now, you think it to yourself, like, I'm playing the prequel to this game, and he's doing a heck of a lot more stuff than he was in the original. Now, how come he couldn't do this stuff, and he should be able to still do these stuff or have these similar powers as he did in...
See, and that's where the series went wrong, because if you're going to do a prequel, you can't give them powers, new powers, but because they didn't have those powers, you know, storyline-wise, years in the future, how they have now.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying, and they did that in the Devil May Cry series. Like, he's super sweet, and I understand that he's a younger character in part 3, and he has that young person mentality, you know, where you think you're a superhero and you're not. In his opinion, he is kind of, but he's sweeter when he's younger, and that's a prequel, and that game came out years after the original. So he was like, man, I would rather play this prequel because he's not as bad as he is in the original. You know what I'm saying? Well, we've been on this entirely too long. This is a good topic. This is a good story.
Let's wrap this up real quick. But, Alex, I'll give you final thoughts. What do you want to say about this, buddy?
I mean, I pretty much said all I want to say. I mean, prequels can be a good thing. I mean, they can be a bad thing. I think overall they're a good thing. I mean, anytime you can learn more about a universe that you love, hey, that's a good thing. And if it's something you don't want to play, like with God of War Ascension, hey, I'm just not going to play it. So I think prequels overall are a good thing. It's not a bad thing having them around. I mean, yeah, it's an easy way for companies to make more money, but it's also a good way for, you know, people who create the games who want to tell a story to continue to tell that story and to maybe introduce new characters and let people in on secrets that they hadn't heard before. So
let's move on to our next section. It's always a favorite of our listeners, our trophies and tips.
Titty!
Now, Donnie, you have some tips for Hitman Absolution here.
Yeah, I do. Real quick, is that it's a good way to get point multipliers for, you know, your finish bonus at the end of your level. So if you, I found out that if you do your challenges in the actual mission that you're in, if you do the challenges and complete them, and you still want to get the Silent Assassin, because a lot of these challenges require you won't get the Silent Assassin on. Do the challenges and quit. You know, I mean, not quit, but restart the game, and all your challenges will be there, and it'll wipe your stake clean. Like, you won't have spotted on your account list. You won't have killed X amount of people on your spot list. You will have everything wiped clean, and you will still have your challenges done at the same time. And then that will add up to your total overall completion.
Okay, points. Let me just break down what Donnie said real quick. Earlier in the show, I was talking about how on the King of Chinatown level, I went through and killed him all 12 different ways. Well, every time I killed him, it adds a times 5 multiplier to your score. So as I killed him with, you know, by poisoning his coffee, I got a 5 times multiplier. The next time I went through and I killed him using his Coke, I got another 5 times, so now I'm times 10. The more times you go in and you complete the mission in a different way, by the time the last time you do the last challenge in each mission, your multipliers will stack so much that on your last time, you'll wind up getting the Silent Assassin if you ran through not being seen and whatnot.
But this will only work if you do any of those challenges and then you get to a save marker. If you hit that save marker and you restart it, your slate will not be wiped clean. You will still have the same spotted and I killed this many people on your
slate. Right, but if you complete the mission and go through it again, your slate's clean.
You don't have to complete it. You could just do the mission. I mean, you could do those challenges and then you could do as many challenges as you want and then just restart that mission. And then without hitting a save marker, if you don't hit the save marker, your stats will be wiped clean. You don't have to restart the whole
thing. All right, Donnie, we're saying the same thing, just in different words.
Oh, okay. Also, that guy from Kangan Lynch, he's in there.
Spoilers.
In that game. Yep, spoiler. It ain't nothing to spoil about that game. All it is it's a Easter egg. All right, the Tekken game is in there,
Donnie,
too.
You have any shout-outs, buddy?
Yes, I want to give a shout out to all the fans, man, who listen to this whole show. Hopefully I can cut it down to a reasonable amount of time. But and all the fans who continue listening to us, and I want to give you guys a shout out because you guys are super awesome. And thanks, Trico, for passing up some booty to do this. And because I really want to get done before 10 o'clock. And yeah.
Alex, your shout outs, buddy.
All right, I just want to give shout-outs to NM Rain and I Yield to No One, a couple of Trophy Horse regulars. Of course, shout-outs to you guys, Tricky and Donnie, my co-host every week, as well as shout-outs, of course. You can find my other work on wouldyoukindly.com. So I want to give shout-outs to Crash and Justin, as well as my co-host on the floor is Lava, Candace and Klaus, and Amanda, who is one of the co-hosts on Life.exe.
Yeah, when do we get another episode of Life.exe?
There's actually one ready.
All right. Cause...
So it'll be out soon.
All right. And my shout-outs are still contained to the FDNY, the NYPD, and the DSNY. I am currently still very much wrapped up in the cleaning up of Hurricane Sandy. Again, I will say that any of our listeners, if you can, please find a way to donate to the people that lost everything. I say this every time I'm on the show since the hurricane. You know, you never really see what the disaster can do on TV. It's a totally different experience when you see it in your hometown community and you're seeing it firsthand. It's horrible. And I never really asked for donations other than Extra Life, but please go and find a way to donate. Even if you can't do it monetarily, if you live in the tri-state area, please try to find a way to get down here and help. These people need a lot of help. And trust me, when I see the strength of the people of Staten Island standing together and doing this, I mean, this not only affected Staten Island, it affected, other areas too, but I'm speaking for Staten Island because that's where I live and that's where I'm constantly working. So please, if you can, volunteer your time and, clothes, food, whatever you guys can give, it's greatly appreciated. All right, now that we're done with that, Donnie, do we have any sponsors? Yes, if you're going to shop on Amazon, and we know you do, please stop by ProvingGamer.com first, click the link, and continue with your normal shopping. It doesn't cost you anything extra and does help out the site tremendously. If you're going to be cruising the web, stop by ProvingGamer.com and check out all of our articles, videos, and podcasts. Our other podcasts include the DC Woe Show, Who's Saving the World, One Podcast at a Time, and PG Spoilers, which I am going to mention it this week, Alex, because I know you didn't last week.
Nope.
We do have one planned. It is currently waiting on me to finish playing a certain game so we can actually get that off the roll. And I,
oh, come on.
What is it? Type it into the chat.
It's going to be the VGA's Game of the Year.
Oh, okay. All right. So Puss in Boots?
Yes.
And I guess I agree. Every game does need to
sound. Hey, I've played that game. I've actually been on a spoiler episode for that game, so if you need anybody for it,
I'm going to say right now, I know the VGA's happened. I'm going to say just right out, we're not going to have a conversation about this, but The Walking Dead should not have won Game of the Year.
Yes, it should have.
No, should not have.
You're both full of horse shit.
No, I'm not. I'm in his opinion.
Oh, okay, Donnie, you're awesome.
All right. So, also, if you want to contact us, there are several ways you could do that. You can contact the website on Twitter at Proven Gamer. You can contact the show at Trophy Horse. You can contact myself at Tricky Mick. You can contact Donnie at Young Twist. You can contact Alex at Saundasaurus Rex. While you're also cruising the web, stop by Facebook, because we all know everybody's on Facebook, and click that like button after you search for Proven Gamer. The Proven Gamer Steam group is still going. It's still headed up by me. Somebody please take that from me. While you're also,
hey Tricky, I got a question. Yes. Would you like me to take it from you?
Do you play?
It doesn't matter if you want me to take it from you.
Also, while you're cruising the web, stop by YouTube and search for Official Proven Gamer. We have some videos going up. Donnie has had a preview of one of our new videos that's getting ready to go up.
Do not put that up.
No. I said a preview. I didn't say the final cut.
Oh, okay. Well, not yet. I got to talk to you about that.
If you can, please stop by iTunes and leave a rating for all of our podcasts. Preferably 5 stars, but anything that you can give us is greatly appreciated. And our comments are what we are really looking for. We are looking to see how we're doing. Donnie, do we have a phone number people could call?
330-PROVEN9, 330-776-8369.
And yes, I did choose that number.
I knew it. That's a tricky touch right there.
Well, I was trying to get a number when I chose that number that encompassed all 7 digits, and I couldn't find one, so I came up with Proven, and then the only option for a number at the end was 9. It did end up being 69.
Sure. And it just so happened if you mess up a number, you get a sex line.
That was totally unintentional, I got to tell you. All right. Also, if you want to leave a voicemail for anybody on the site, not just this podcast, you can go to Proven Gamer, and on the right side of the page, you can click the link on saying leave a voicemail, and you can leave a message for any staff member at all on the site. Well, guys, I think that's it. If there's nothing else, until next week, happy trophy hunting.
Woo!
Where did that come from?
Well, it's the end of the show. Let the credits roll. Y'all gotta go. And I'm about to pull a puppy. Shut down the studio. But how was it, though?
It was dope. Had me rolling on the floor, yo.
Oh, squaw.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a down on Simone. And I'm a letting people know. Y'all the real trophy
hoe. Thanks, bro. Tune into the iTunes radio. And just like before, thanks for listening to the show. Oh.